Man, you guys can sing. You'd think we'd have a whole choir full. See, I did that so I could find out how we'd sound. And I tell you, I wish we'd had a choir. And a lot of folks look at me and say, Brother Dave, why don't we have one? I look right back at them and say, why don't we have one? I think we should have one. And I sure would like to start one, but I'm not going to start it with five people. And I would like to have commitments out of that. But we'll get off of that this morning. But you did sound good. I love that song. I even heard the bass voices in there singing harmony. Boy, that's good stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been talked to a lot about this. I have a couple of different messages the Lord gave me going on right now. But I've actually only done this one other time. I really feel the Lord has impressed on my heart to repeat a message that I've preached years and years ago. I've been asked by several people to do this. Amazing. The one that I thought I did the worst on seems like it was okay. The message is entitled Junk Drawer. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about your Christian lives as it pertains to a junk drawer in your kitchen. How many people in this room have a junk drawer? How many people were lying about having a junk drawer? Okay. Every single one of us has one of these in our house. You'd love to tell me that you don't, but I know that you do. It's impossible not to have one. And I'm going to tell you, out of all the things that I've come across in my life, the junk drawer just about most completely describes a Christian life. Most completely lives its life very similar to the way we live our lives as Christians. In the last few weeks, I've had the Lord really impress upon my heart to preach about forgiveness, about loving yourselves, about realizing who you are and how much God loves you anyhow. We get hung up a lot of times as preachers on the faults of people. I'm going to tell you right now, we could be farther away from the truth. Because I'm going to tell you, it's just those people that God likes to get. Your Lord loves you. And I know that we are, as preachers, we are supposed to preach on sin, and I believe that we should. And we ought to preach on holiness, and I believe that we should. But I'm going to tell you right now, a holy, just, righteous God came down to this earth and died for people who cursed His name. A holy, righteous God came from heaven above and bore all of our stripes and bore all of our grief and bore all of our iniquities on Himself because we are dirty, rotten sinners, and He loves us anyhow. Now, yes, we should desire to lead our lives as new creatures. We should desire to live our lives different than we lived them before. And I believe the junk drawer explains that. I believe that our lives should be patterned more after our Savior and our willingness to forgive each other and our willingness to take each other in, even though we are so faulty as people. And we are. Every last one of us. I, the chiefest of all, am a sinner. Saved by grace. And folks, what we've got to realize in our life, in our daily lives, you will fall if you don't realize that you're already on the ground. Boy, you got to hold on to that. I don't even have that written down. You will fall. You know why pride puffeth up? It's like a balloon. Pride puffs you up, makes you think that you're somebody you're not. And then somebody comes along and down you go to the ground. If you start out here, you won't fall far. Because you're already on your knees begging God to forgive you for who you are and what you've done. He's done it. Accept it. And move on. See, we miss a lot in our lives because we decide in our lives that we're not good enough. Nobody is. I've said this a lot of times, but more people, last week when I preached a message on forgiveness, I could have stayed with point number one the whole time, forgiving yourself. Because I had more people come to me and talk to me about how they don't know how they can forgive themselves for what they have done, or what they have felt, or what they feel now. I got news for you. God already has. Well, you got to grab a hold of in your teenage lives, and this does not give you the liberty to go out and sin. Don't misread me. You sin, we'll come after you, and we'll hawk you down and haunt your life. But if you do mess up, when you do, God has given you forgiveness for your future sins already. And we just got to come back to Him. We just got to realize, I repent, I realize I messed up. So please, Lord, fill me again. Not with His Spirit. Your Spirit's already in there. You can't lose your salvation. It's not going anywhere. You couldn't lose it. It's not yours to lose. Your salvation is His. He owns your salvation. You've been bought with a price. And that price is His life. He had to pay His life for you to live in heaven. He looks down and sees things that you cannot see. The Spirit that He's put in your body groans with utterings which cannot be uttered because you don't even know what it's groaning about. Do you know the Spirit knows things that are coming into your life long before you do? And it prays for you. I just did it in Sunday school class this morning. I showed them where the Spirit prays for them with groanings which cannot be uttered. He knows your frame. He knows who you are. Glory to God. He wants you anyhow. Isn't that tremendous? Every one of us in this room has a problem. Every one of us in this room is a dirty past or a dirty present or a dirty future ahead of them. But bless God, He loves you anyhow. That's why your life so much patterns a junk drawer. It's amazing we get into our kitchen. And there's that drawer. We've got three of them. Junk drawers are great. They really are. You got people coming over. You open the drawer. Close the drawer. You know what happened? You cleaned your house. Amen? Now I will say, before Tammy Lynn marches up here, I will say, my wife keeps an impeccable house. She does. She really does. And I am the first to admit that. When she first met me, I had a bachelor pad in every stretch of the imagination. I had 6-week-old macaroni and cheese still in the sink. It had oak trees growing in it. It wasn't just mold. It had oak trees growing in it, okay? So I know all about, I am the liver of a dirty house. I would say right now, if it wasn't for me, our house would be clean all the time. I am the biggest kid in the house. Well, you got three kids your house lived in. Yeah, but it's lived in by me, too. And I'm probably the messiest of us all. Okay, she follows me. When I come home, she follows me, just picking stuff up all around the house. She follows me. Oh, man, man. Can't you just shut the curtain one time after you take a shower? I mean, I am a pathetic person to live with, okay? So when I'm talking about this junk drawer, don't think. It's mostly my junk that's in this drawer, okay? But you all have this drawer at your house. You all have this place where you put things that you don't want anybody else to see, not just because it's bad to look at, just because it's ugly, because you want it to be packed away. I want you to turn your Bibles for a minute, and don't panic, Shannon Ray. We're going to turn to Romans. We're going to read Romans chapter 7. I won't stay here long, I promise. She's in the Romans class. She's about Romaned out. Romans chapter 7. Verse 14 through 25, this is the junk drawer passage right here. I've so named it. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14, the Bible says, "For we know," let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Sorry about that. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. I'm so excited about this. I'm having a hard time training my thoughts here. Romans chapter 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Say that 10 times fast. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Are you still with me? I'm not with me. I'm just trying to get the words right. "I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that you are." The closer you get to God, the more wretched you will be. And that's a good thing. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And you can't separate them this side of heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I please bless this message today. This is just one of those messages amazing to me that it's effective. But Lord, you've got to be the one that makes it effective. Lord, let me decrease and let you increase. Speak through me today. Speak through me in a very special way. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25, it's simply saying this. I want to do good, but I still don't. I want to do good, but I still don't. You say, what in the world does that have to do with a junk drawer? Well, let me give you a little thing. The junk drawer does not want to be the junk drawer when it's built. When the junk drawer is first made, he does not have any idea that he's going to be filled with junk. He's pretty sure he's going to be a drawer in a cabinet, and he's happy with that. He might be the silverware drawer. There's not a better drawer in the whole house than the silverware drawer because most of the fat men go there first. So he knows he's going to get visited a lot when he's a silverware drawer. He realizes that he might become the drawer that holds the cups and the spoons and the bigger utensils. You ladies have one of them too. I know you do. Because not all the big utensils fit in the little utensil drawer. Okay? So I know there's the one with the serving spoons and things like that. He might be that drawer which contains that. He knows that when the family has a get-together, he'll be the one pulled out and the serving spoons will come out. We'll have a great Thanksgiving day. What a wonderful drawer he would be. This is the dumbest thing you ever heard, isn't it? He would think that maybe he's not that drawer. Maybe he's the drawer that contains the napkins or the real nice linens that you ladies have to put out only when special folks come over. Funny, the preachers never see those special napkins when we come over. He thinks that he's going to be that drawer which contains the bread. You have a bread drawer, right? The bread. Or maybe some kind of food. But no, this drawer is destined for a different thing. He's not destined for greatness. He's destined for junk. What happens to a junk drawer? And I'm paralleling this to a Christian life. When you're born, your junk drawer has no junk in it. Okay, when you're born as a baby. Not that you're not sinful. You're born in sin. I understand that. But when you're born, you don't have a whole lot to do. You've got to sit there. Here's three things basically a baby does. He eats, he sleeps, and he does the third thing, which nobody really likes to talk about. So those three things that a baby does, but he doesn't really have a lot of sin that he does. And a baby, if a baby would die, is safe and goes to heaven. Amen? Don't let anybody teach you different about that. When a baby dies, he doesn't have not the age of accountability. He goes to heaven. No purgatory for him. That baby goes to heaven. Okay? So knowing those things, the drawer doesn't start out junk. When a drawer is built in the cabinet shop, it doesn't start out as a junk drawer. It starts out as an empty drawer with any life that it could be. Let me tell you what happens. We start to fill that drawer. Now, this is before you get saved. Now, not everybody gets saved when they're young kids. And that makes you no better or no worse than anybody else. Don't misread me. What happens in your life, though, is you start to get things that come into your life, one after the other. Not necessarily bad things. These could be good things, for that matter. These are things that take your mind off of God. Okay, what they're called is a wile of the devil. And the devil wants to give you wiles in your life because that wile is simply stated as this. A definition of a wile of the devil is anything that takes your mind off of God for a while. Okay? And it doesn't have to be bad. It can be very good. And your junk drawer is a place where you put those things. You don't necessarily want anybody to see them. You don't necessarily, when people come over, you don't want to, they're not necessarily bad. A lot of pizza coupons go in the junk drawer. Pizza coupons are good. Very good. But that doesn't mean that you want people to see them when they come over. It clutters your look. It clutters your countertop. It clutters what the people will see. It clutters, and you don't want them to see that clutter. So you shove everything inside that drawer. What happens is it begins to fill. When our cabinets went in brand new, we just put our cabinets in. At the time, we had no junk drawers when I first put them in. We now have three. Well, the junk didn't just appear all at once. The junk went in piece by piece by piece, little by little, here a little, there a little, precept on precept. It went in little by little, and it cluttered the drawer so much that it came to the point where we couldn't even open it anymore. You ever had a drawer like that? It's the most frustrating thing ever known to man. You pull on a drawer and it doesn't come out. The first time you hurt your fingers because you weren't ready for the drawer not to come out. You're ready. The drawer's coming out. You're ready for that. But your fingers come off the edge and it hurts and you're getting mad. So you pull on a drawer harder. You ever seen a person try to open a drawer that won't open? Why do they try it 3 and 4 times? I never understood that. Why would you continue to try to open a drawer? I do the same thing. Wham, 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 wham. For some reason, a dumb thing won't open.
You got to stick your hand in there, snake your hand in, and push down what's inside the drawer, and then pull it out with both hands. You scrape the top of your knuckles on the cabinet just to get out to take a look at your junk. Why not light the thing on fire and get over with, you know? There's nothing in there you really want, but you got to go in after it. It's almost like you can't help yourself. Bless God, there's got to be nail clippers in there. I know there's nail clippers in my junk drawer. I'm going in. If I don't come out in 5 minutes, come after me. And then you try to find them. Here's what's hilarious about a junk drawer. I love this. Isn't this the dumbest thing you've ever heard? This is just so dumb. It's amazing how stupid we are. We go in after it and we'll take all the stuff out of the drawer. This would be a great opportunity to get rid of the junk. Just have the trash can right next to you instead of throwing it here, throw it there. That's all the Lord given. Just throw it right in. Instead, we put it all on there, get frustrated because we can't find the nail clippers or whatever it is you're looking for. And what do we do with the junk? And we hear the drawer spring shut. Because that little thing that was stopping it from opening before just went. It's like a jackknife in there. And it sprung saying, yeah, he shut me here. You make me a junk drawer, I'm going to make it so you can't open me again. Goes up. And what's amazing, I've done this because I am bullheaded. I've looked in the other two junk drawers, found I got nothing there, went in my room, couldn't find the clippers there, went back to the first junk drawer, realizing that it got to be in here. I just didn't look good enough. And try open it again, put your hand inside down, scrape your knuckles, and you're mad all over again. I'm going to tell you right now, you laugh. Do you realize that's a lot like a Christian life? You fill yourself with so much stuff. Not bad stuff. See, a lot of people think you've got to fill your life. I'm getting warm, I'm sorry. You've got to fill your... Many people feel that you've got to fill your life with bad things to be a bad person. No, you're already a bad person. You're filling your life with junk that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with God, but it keeps your eyes off of Him, so you become so cluttered and so filled with stuff that you can't open up anymore. You become so filled and so cluttered with the things of this world that you literally don't have the ability to open anymore. And when somebody finally tries to take your life and open your life, the only way they can do it, they try and try and try, but you refuse. Your heart won't give in. Your heart won't come open. Your heart won't allow them to come. They have to literally get in your life, in the heart of the junk drawer. Push down your junk and pull out so you can open up your life. I'm going to tell you right now, we got to realize something in our Christian walk. We are the only ones walking. Could you grab a hold of that for a minute? You're the only one walking. All the other ones out there that are unsaved people, they're not walking with Christ. They don't have a walk. You've got to walk. Now, whether you walk fast or slow, I could care less about how you walk. But you need to care about how you walk. Now, after a while, what happens? We get saved. God takes our drawer. Amen. If you're a new preacher, God takes our drawer and opens it up. He doesn't need to stick His hand in. He just pulls it open. And He dumps it all in the trash. Hallelujah. We no longer have a junk drawer. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay? Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You think, I've got this junk drawer thing licked. I've got it made. That's where we mess up. Do you know getting saved does not get rid of your junk drawer? It just cleans it out so we can receive different kinds of junk. See, what you got to realize, your life does not begin afresh and a brand new and then have no other junk come in. It just opens up your drawer for a whole different kind of junk. In other words, you've got a whole different mail system that mails to your house now, yet it still comes. The bulk mail and the junk mail still comes that we keep. Why do we keep what we keep? I've got 75 coupons of Domino's and you go there once a month. They do expire. don't they? But we still hold on to them. You've got a pencil that's broken half in there. Pencils are 6 cents a piece. Why would we keep a pencil that's broken half or otherwise? Inside there, we've got letters, envelopes with nothing in them. You ever had an envelope that's ripped open, shoved in your drawer, there's nothing in the envelope? That's why it's called a junk drawer, Tom. That's why. Because you literally don't know why you have in that drawer what you have in that drawer. The kids get out of school for the summer. What goes in the junk drawer? Glue, rulers, whatever. You know. And then the next year, what do? You go out and buy glue, rulers. Because you don't want to go inside the junk drawer. I'm not touching him. Do you know your Christian life is real similar to how a junk drawer is? After the Lord cleans you out, right? He just literally takes you and dumps you out. You're a new creature. Amen. But you're still a sinner. Now, what that verse is trying to tell you that Paul was talking about is, even though you're a saved person, you got the Spirit of Christ inside of you, Stephanie, you also have the spirit of the flesh still inside of you. You can't get away from it. You can't make it leave. You still are what you are. The junk drawer did not get promoted to the silverware drawer. He got cleaned out, but he is still a junk drawer. He still will be the one, when you come to the countertop and open it up, he will still be the one that you pull everything into. And as a Christian in your life, don't think that you're above to having junk in your life. You are not only not above it, you are mired in it. The devil wants to take you and fill you with stuff, good or bad, that will take you out of the will of God. You have a false sense of the devil says, well, I'm going to make you do bad things to get you out of the will of God. That's a false sense of security. The devil doesn't care what you do as long as it's not the will of God. The devil does not have a plan for your life. Do you know that? He doesn't have this great plan that Liz Worrell's going to fall in sin and do all these other things. He doesn't care what you do. He wants you to live a good life as long as it's right in your own eyes. One of the greatest scriptures in that I've ever come across is help my life is trying to deal with people, trying to understand what they do, trying to understand what Christians do and the way they think and the way people, you can't figure them sometimes. Do you know why that is, Brother Carl? They're doing that which was right in their eyes, not in God's eyes. And what you got to understand is even though it's right to you, it may not be right to God. It may be right for us to keep all that junk, but the junk drawer ain't real happy about it. You see what I'm saying? There's no reason that we're holding on to the things we hold on to this earth. There's no reason that we're grasping onto the things that we grasp on upon this earth, but we just can't seem to let them go. Do you see what I'm getting at? There's things that come into our life that we really shouldn't be in. And I'm not saying that they're bad things, but they take away from our walk with God. They take away from what we could do for God. Yet we can't wait to be part of those, and we can't seem to let them go, even after we're saved. So what do? We organize the junk drawer. You ever seen an organized junk drawer? You see it for 24 hours. Matter of fact, the junk drawer is so mad at you for letting him be a junk drawer all these years, he unorganized himself as soon as you shut it. A lot of people, you know, they put the pencils in a rubber band. My grandma used to always do that. And I was a bad grandson, always take one pencil, but I'd leave all the rubber band off and put it inside the drawer again. As soon as you shut it, the pencils are everywhere. Your junk drawer hates being a junk drawer. Okay, he does not like being a junk drawer. He's not happy about it, so you organize him. You ever see a Christian try to organize their life? We are a mess. It's amazing how much we try to fit in. I'll never forget Brother Mike preached a Sunday school message one time. He had big rocks inside of a jar. Anybody remember that? He had big rocks inside of a jar. Then he had smaller rocks that filtered down into the jar. Then he had sand that filtered down into a jar. So in other words, you could fit more things into the time that you had. You know what I mean? And it's amazing you watch a Christian try to organize their life. We are the busiest people on the face of the earth. I believe that with all my heart. And you don't have 10 seconds to yourself. Do you realize what we've done? We've junked up our junk drawer again. We've got ourselves in an awful mess. We literally, and I'm not saying that any of the things that you're doing are bad. That's where you fall short. You realize that everything you're doing is good. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing, so you must have to do it all to be right. No. What you need to do is take your junk drawer. Don't worry about organizing it. Let God organize your junk drawer. Let God, see, he's the only one that can change who you are. The preacher can't change who you are. And by the way, you ought not change for the preacher. Did you know that? The convictions I've gotten are convictions of my own. My preacher never told me to have a conviction. And by the way, I don't think you should try to push your convictions on people. Hold on to that thought for a minute. I'm going to tell you right now, the junk drawer doesn't try to push being a junk drawer onto the silverware drawer. The junk drawer doesn't try to make the silverware junky. He is the junk drawer. That's all he is. And he doesn't want anybody, nobody else becomes a junk drawer because he's one. And by the way, the silverware drawer doesn't like anyone else's silverware drawer. He stays a silverware drawer. I'm Brother Dave. I'm the only one in this church, and you're all saying amen. But I don't want anybody else to be me. I want to be me. God gave me a special life. He gave me a life that only I can have. He gave me a wife that only I can have. He gave me purpose that only I can have. Did you know that He's got one for you too? Every single person in this room has got a job that God has got planned for you if you'll just clean out your junk. See, we live in a day and age where it is literally not pretty to say that you're not busy. Multitasking has not become something that only a few are good at. It becomes something that everybody has to do. I see people all the time talking on the phone, driving their car, trying to put on makeup. How good is that? Girls have a hard time driving anyhow. That's why I stood over here. There's four rows. Why? I'm just going to be honest with you. Cell phones, either you can talk on them while you're driving or you can't. There really is no in between. Either you're a person that can do that, can drive with one hand and talk, or you're a person that's, talking and they talk with their hands. They can't drive on the straight on the street. You know, for those people, get rid of your cell phone. It's going to kill you someday. That's part of your junk drawer. You might say, well, why is my cell phone part of my junk drawer? How much time do you spend on it? See, what you got to understand is this. I'm not saying I know what your junk is. But you do. You know what it is. You know what keeps you out of a walk with God. I'm not talking about the will of God. Out of a walk with God. There's a difference between a walk and a will. Did you know that? There's a difference. You could be walking with God and you'll be in His will. You could be in His will and not walking with Him. I know that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. You could be doing what He's wanted you to do, yet you're not doing it as full as you should be. See what I mean? I could be the associate pastor of this church in the will of God, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, yet not walking with Him as I should be. Because I've got stuff in my life that I should not have in there that's junk. Not bad things, just junk. And what you got to understand is this. In the life of a junk drawer, he decides in his best that he wants to get out of being what he's being because he sees that he's not doing a very good service. He's not being everything he should be, and he desires to be something different. In your Christian life, you are no different from that drawer. We organize the junk drawer. We make it look nice. It doesn't take long to realize that organizing isn't necessarily what you've got to do. Sometimes you've got to throw stuff away. Organizing junk, it's still junk. It might look better, but it is still junk. And it is still something that we ought to get rid of in our lives, yet we have such a hard time getting rid of them. Every time you look at a pizza coupon, you always look for the expiration date. Why? Because you don't know how long you've had that thing. And you know, we get involved with so much and we get pulled down by so much, so many cares of the world. Sometimes we forget to pray. For people like Wade Hillis III. We forget to pray for people like Grandma and Grandpa Lemley. We get so weighed down with the cares of the world that we forget sometimes to pray for Steve Robinson. Pray for Annie Saylor. Those are simple things, folks. And an organized junk drawer is still a junk drawer. I'm not saying you can get rid of everything in your life. Please don't misread me. I realize that. We live in a world where you've got to do things. You've got to be in the world. You're here. There's just no way you can get around. I mean, a preacher can sit up there and say, well, bless God, you ought not do anything unless it's Christian. I think you can do everything Christian, but you're going to deal with people that are not. You just don't have a choice. But you can live your life in a way that you desire to walk with God no matter where you are or what you're doing because you can do that. You've been given a free pass, so to speak, to go to the throne room of God in prayer, to walk with Him in things that He would have you to do, to be in His will. You've been given a free pass, like a do-over. And when you get into your Christian life, don't be discouraged when you realize that your life is so filled with stuff that you kind of, I don't have time for church because I'm doing this or I'm doing that. I don't have time for, don't get discouraged because we've all been there. But in your life, if you can make yourself some determined decisions, I'm not going to keep more than one page of pizza coupons at a time. And I'm going to throw the rest away. That will, how many, if you would do that, how many junk drawers would really, really go down? I'm not going to keep everything that's coming into my life. It's going to come in. I would be a fool to tell you that you ought not have anything come into your life. That's stupid. But if the things that come in get into your life and they start to fill your drawer, I would to God that you say, Lord, I want you to help me get rid of some of this stuff. Don't necessarily try to organize it. Although people lead very busy lives. Sometimes we need to lead more of a busy life for God and some of the things He would have us to do than try to live a busy life for the world. My question is this, and I hope this hits home. Why is the world the only one that deserves your time? Man, it's quiet in here. Why is it that the world and the people of it are taking up your time? And I'm not talking about going soul winning to see them. I'm devoting my time to the world that way. No, that would be devoting your time to God. Okay, if you've devoted more of your time towards the people of the world, how do the people of God feel? What could you do for God's people? What could you do to help them? And it doesn't have to be anything special. And by the way, everything is special to God. I don't care if you pick up a piece of paper. Mary Reinhart does the bulletin. I don't care. Folding bulletins is just as important to God's service as anything else that happens. But why is it that we literally take all of our time that we have and we grind our time down and work our time and work our schedules and work our calendar all around the things of the world, ignoring the things of God? We are so filled with junk in our lives today, we have no idea what it's like to be emptied of that junk. We once knew what it was when we got saved. We once knew. We once remembered how great it was to be emptied of all junk and have our eyes on God. We all remember what that's like. But what happened along the line in your Christian life that so much came in? And so much came in. I've got a great talent, and you use it for the world. I've got a great ability to do things that other people can't do, and you do it for the world. Well, why can't you do it for God's people? Why can't we use our talents for God? Why can't we use our lives for God? Well, He doesn't want me. I dealt with that right in the beginning, folks. Not only does He want you, He desires to have you in a way that He was willing to die for you. So why would we take more time, Tommy, of devoting our lives to the people and the things of this world than we would to the people and the things of this church and God? Is that right? I'm just asking you a question. It must be hitting home. Either that or I'm laying a real egg right now because you just look like you're thinking. It's not wrong to want to help the world, the people of the world. It's not wrong. But is it right to have your life in perspective that way? Is it right to have to literally have somebody reach into your life and push down all your junk before you can open up as a child? Is it right? Is that right? It's not right. It's not right. It's not right that we aren't having prayer for each other every day. It's not right that we're not caring about the people of this church in a way that we would say that we love them and care about them. It's not right when we don't care about each other in that way. It's not right. Because we fill our lives with so much junk and so much trash that we literally never want to let go. What's funny is we get that stuff in us, Brother Tom, and we hold on to it so tight. What's another thing about the junk drawer is this. It seems like it's always getting added to, Bobby, but it's never getting emptied out. Whatever was in there before usually stays, and usually new stuff gets added in, Brother Carrie. That's usually what happens. You usually don't go in and throw something out. How many of you just recently thrown something out of your junk drawer? One is I say, you know what? I just don't need this anymore. You know why you don't? You just don't want to bother with it. How can our life be so much like a stupid drawer in our kitchen? We just don't want to bother with what it would take to get that out of our life. We don't want to bother with taking the time to go in there and grabbing the Domino's coupon. If you like Domino's, I'm not picking on your pizza company. You take the Domino's coupon. How hard would it be to take an expired coupon out of our life and throw it out? But we don't do it. We leave it in there. We let it build up and build up and build up and build up until we literally can no longer open a drawer with stuff that we really don't care about yet we won't let go of. Why is that? Why is that? I just really believe that if we really would grab a hold of God today and just say, you know what, Lord, I don't want you to organize me. I don't want you to come through and teach me how to work with the world better. Teach me, Lord, how to work with you. Teach me, Lord, how to serve you. Teach me, Lord, how to serve you. Can you get a hold of that sentence? Teach me, Lord, how to serve you. Because some of us, and probably the majority of us, we worry about serving others before we serve God. If you serve God, you'll want to serve others. I'm not talking about that others. You serve others not worrying about what God thinks. That I want to do, that I don't. That's what Paul says. I wish to do this, but I can't seem to pull it off. I want to go this way, but I seem to always go this way. Why is that? I want to do right, but I always seem to do wrong. Why is that? Because you're too full of junk. You're a life full of junk. And none of that stuff has to be wrong. All that stuff could be right in your eyes. All that stuff could be fine. Yet it's so full of junk, you literally cannot open your drawer anymore. And there's got to come a time in your life where you decide, you know what? I'm going to work more for God than I am for man. I'm going to work more for God than I am for this thing that I'm trying to accomplish for the world. I'm going to do more for God than I am for myself. And you'll realize that your drawer will start to become empty. Now, you have on you, and will always be there, a sin nature. You have on you the ability to get rid of that sin nature, knowing, reckoning, yielding. You got a way to get rid of that. But so many of us miss the simple fact that all we've got to do is literally get rid of the things that of the earth that are in our eyes good, get rid of those things and say, God, what is good in your eyes? And if you concentrate on what God is doing good in his eyes, then your eyes will automatically do good. You can't do anything but good when you're looking through God's eyes. It's such a simple concept. When you realize that you're not doing so well, though, don't get discouraged. Because all around this room today, people have junk drawers in their life. Every one of us has one. Every one of us has something in our life that, man, we could just get rid of. But they just have things that, you know, just, they. I tell you, the stress level would become so much less if we would get rid of some of the stuff in our lives. I'm going to meddle. When you let sports become that huge part of your life, that's junk. All the women, that's right! Turn the TV off! But it's true. I've seen people get so wound up in sports that their lives are consumed by it. Is there anything wrong with sports? All the girls, yes! No, there's nothing wrong with sports. Matter of fact, I think a boy should have sports. I think he should play ball. I think you learn things from playing baseball that you don't learn in regular life. Teamwork. How to lose, because eventually you're going to lose. I hate losing, but eventually you're going to lose. And I think you learn things that way. But if you devote your life in it so much that all of a sudden it's on Wednesday nights and you know what? I'm going to baseball, can't make church. Is that right? I'm not trying to be somebody up here, you know, browbeating, but it's junk. It's junk. You can make decisions in your life. I'm not talking, by the way, I don't even necessarily talk about your kids. How about you men? Well, I can't come to church on Wednesdays. I got a Wednesday night softball league I play in. You ain't that good, brother. You might as well come to church and pray. I've seen you hit. See, we fill our lives with all kinds of stuff. You know what God would have us do? By the way, back before TV sets, I bet you people weren't near as stressed. Because what do you hear on the TV nowadays? Anything good? I mean, really, anything good at all? You could take the whole TV and put it in your junk drawer. It would fit right in.
Because literally what you hear on the TV today, bless God, we're all going to die. Nuclear war. Everything's going to kill us. Bird flu, cow flu. I was talking to the doctor the other day. This is hilarious. I said, you know what's funny? I would bet that it was the beef company that started the bird flu. Because they want you to eat more beef. And it was the bird flu guys, or the bird companies, poultry guys, that started the mad cow disease. Because they'd love you to eat more chicken. You laugh, but don't tell me that's not possible. Have you ever seen the bird flu? I mean, maybe you have. But I've never seen the bird flu. I've never seen a bird come over and die. I've never seen the chickens kill people in Portage County, unless they're salmonella. It's amazing what we fret ourselves with. Oh, gosh, I better go down and get a shot. Give me the bird flu immunization. So what we do as humans, we're so stupid, invite the bird flu in. I'm going to get it, so give it to me now. Invite the bird flu in so it can make you sick. I don't know why I got sick. And I'm not against people getting flu shots. Don't misread me. But when they ask them what's in the shot next time you get it, just ask them. It's the flu. What's in the shot? The flu. I don't want my flu through the air. Please give it to me intravenously. But you get on the TV set and that's what you see. You listen on the radio, that's what you hear. You hear that you've got to do things. You know what that is? That's junk. Why can't God protect you? I got the flu. God didn't protect me from the flu. But he made me good enough to stand up here and babble today. Here's what's amazing. We fill our lives with this stuff and we forget about what's going on in God's house and what we can do to help him and what we can do to serve him. We're so concerned about what this world has got for us. We're so concerned about what's happening to Mel Gibson in the movies. We're so concerned about what's happening with all these people. We forget about God. And that's not right. You want to know why America's going down? We're not focused on God. You want to know why your marriage is failing? Because we're not focused on God. You want to know why everything's failing around this United States of America, which is still the greatest nation to be in? We've taken our eyes off God. You know what happened back in the Revolutionary War? We got rid of our junk. We say, you know what? I'm fighting for this country because we want our own religion. We want to be able to worship Christ. And they didn't want that. That's why the people came over here. They didn't come over here to get away from taxes. That worked. I wish they just left the taxes behind. No, they came over here to get away from the Catholics. You said Catholics in a bad way. I'm going to tell you right now, Catholics have sent more people to hell teaching their rotten beliefs. Say what you want to say. We had our eyes focused on God. And we decided we were going to fight for it. You know what happened? We won. And since that time, we've forgotten the documents that all those founding fathers put down. We forget the documents that all those people have put down and saying we literally give this country to God. We this is one nation under God. We've done all these things for God, and God has done all things through us. And now we live in a society where homosexuality is not only okay, pretty soon it's going to be the lifestyle of choice. Say what? Hey, laugh and scoff all you want, but it's the truth. People all every day, oh, I bless the queers. Hey, God calls them an abomination. I call it absolutely sick. You can't be comfortable around them. Don't act like you can. Well, I got queers in my family. Yeah, don't talk to me about that. Don't talk to me about that. My mama was one for a long time. If anybody's got a right to stand up here and be against that, it's me. Talk to me later about having a lifestyle like that come into your life. You know what it is? It's junk. Junk got introduced. That's all. Junk. It starts out so simple, Brother Kerry. I got it all figured out. It all revolves around the junk drawer. All life revolves around your junk drawer at home. I'm going to go home to people in your houses, and you're going to have holes in your cabinets where a drawer used to be. Well, bless God, I'm not going to be dead. I'm going to get rid of that drawer. I'll throw it out. No junk in my house. I'm going to tell you right now, I would to God that you could pull that out of your life. I would to God that you could get rid of that drawer. You can't get rid of it. But what you can realize is God can. I would love to have this church focus back on Christ. Every one of us. By the way, it's not me telling you to focus, Brother Kerry. That's not how it's going to work. It's got to work. Brother Kerry's telling Brother Kerry, God, you've got to help me focus on you.
Brother Carl, you've got to decide, no matter what, I'm going to focus on Christ. I'm going to do my best to do His best for Him. And unless you do that, you're not going to get rid of the junk. The junk, to get rid of that drawer, it is literally a wholesale cleansing. You got to literally go, boom, don't throw it out, but it will come back. But you've got to realize what it is when it comes. That'll help stave off some of the stuff. Like, look at something before you put it in your drawer. This is comical. Look at something before you put it in your drawer. Do I really need this? Do I really need this? Is this something that I've got to have? If it isn't, pigeonhole it. How many of you have ever heard that expression? Pigeonhole it. That's an old one. Pigeonhole that thing. Throw it away. If you've got something in your life that's not helping you to serve God, get rid of it. See if you can. God will help you. He really will. God will help you to serve Him better if you just ask Him. You can do it on your own. I'm not telling you you should. But you can do it if you have Him help you. It's amazing how much a junk drawer is just like our life. You don't open yourself up because you're afraid of what people might see. You don't want to show everybody. You certainly don't invite people over. Hey, take a look at this. I got a whole drawer full of junk. You don't want people to see that. You hesitate to have people. The silverware is over there. Don't go in that drawer. It's over there. We've got to realize life's getting harder, not easier. Society's getting harder, not easier. They are demanding more of you in your workplaces than they've ever demanded before, for less money than ever. And when I say this, I know you've got to work in the world, but you don't have to bring the world to work with you. And what you do is you get to work and you're demanded of all these things, and so many things come into your life, and so many, you've got to think about, how can I do my job better? There's nothing wrong with that. But what you've got to realize is this: if you ask Christ to help you, He'll clean out the stuff in your drawer, and you can do more work for Him, better for Him. Even at your job, you can do more for Him. We live our lives as junk drawers. What can we do to help empty Him out just a little, to serve Him better and make more time for Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I did the best I could. I have to let You take over from here. Help us. Help us, Lord, to realize that we just have to do more for You, Lord. We've got to do more and have You do more through us. Help us, Lord, to realize that without You, we're nothing. Lord, I'm so thankful for a church that has such freedom to preach in it, to call sin, sin, and to not be ashamed to do it. Thank You for that. Lord, I pray that You be with my pastor. Lord, please touch him, heal him up. Lord, we need him here in a big way. We've got to have him. Help us as a church to focus our eyes more on You and to get rid of the things in our life that maybe we should let go of, but yet we still can't. Help us to get rid of them. Help us to let go of some of the stuff that accumulates in our life that just mounts up as junk. Help us to open up more to You and let You see what our life really is, so You can help us to work through the things that You'd really like us to be. Help us, Lord. We love You so much. Thank You so much for the wonderful sacrifice that You made for us on Calvary. And Lord, I'm so thankful that You had Your eyes totally focused on us when You came down to this earth, and You never let any junk come in. I'm so thankful. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to make it through another day. Help us, Lord, to make it through another month. And help us, Lord, to get all the way to our 50th anniversary and have a great day that day. Help us. Help us become one of the greatest churches in all of Ohio. I believe we can. I believe we've got the great nucleus to do it if we'll just keep our eyes focused on You and get rid of some of the junk. Help us, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, I know for sure 100% that I'm going to heaven when I die? How many can raise their hand and say, I know for sure 100% that I'm going to heaven when I die? You're saved and you know it. You can put them down. I believe I'm speaking mostly to Christians here.
How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother David, I have so many things in my life right now, so many ways that I can turn, so many things that are happening to me. It just seems like my life is filled with junk. How many could raise their hand and would say, I would like you to pray for me. Could you raise your hand to that? Amen. All over. Lord, please help us. Help us today to get rid of some of the stuff that's in our lives and help us to focus more on you. Every life in here is valuable, Lord. Let them know. You let them know, Lord. Get down in their heart and let them know that every life in this room is valuable, no matter what they've done or where they've been. Every life in this room is valuable. Help us to see that, Lord, and help us to want to serve you in a great way. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.